Welcome to Torah Rimecha Nach Yomi. My name is Adina Schmidman, and we are excited to begin Divrei Hayamim, the concluding Sfarim, in this remarkable two-year journey. As we finish this cycle of Torah Rimecha Nach Yomi and prepare for the next cycle, your learning experience and takeaways are valuable. Please go to ou.org/women/nachsurvey, NACHSURVEY, to share your thoughts and insights. For Torah Rimecha January 22 Siyum updates, please sign up at ou.org/women/Siyum. Mazel Tov, and now let's continue with Divrei Hayamim Aleph with Mrs. Stacy Goldman.
Hello, my name is Stacy Nechama Goldman. Welcome to Torah Rimecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Stacy Nechama Goldman, and today we will be studying Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Perek Gimel, Chapter 3. After reaching David in the descendants of Yehuda in the previous chapter, it then continued with all the other descendants of Peretz. We now go back to David to enumerate his children and then each subsequent heir to the Davidic line of kingship. The first 9 verses list all of David's children. First, we read about those born in the beginning of his reign in Hebron, and then those born in Jerusalem after he had united all the tribes and consolidated the kingdom. Here we learn the names of his sons and each of their mothers, although there are a few surprising discrepancies from the names listed in the parallel passage listing the children born in Hebron in Shmuel Bet, chapter 3. Both list David's firstborn son as Amnon, the son of Ahinoam the Israelite. While Abigail is the mother of his secondborn son, her son is recorded as Daniel in our chapter and Kilav, Kaf Lamed Aleph Vet in Sefer Shmuel. There are many explanations for this inconsistency. The Gemara in Masechet Brachot 4a explains that David's teacher, the grandson of Shaul, Mephibosheth, would embarrass David when he would correct his halachic rulings. Hence, the word Boshet, which means shame, is part of his name, Mephibosheth. Through tolerating this treatment, David merited to have a son, Daniel, who was called Kilav because he would machlim, kaf lamed, shame, Mephibosheth with his wisdom. The Midrash Tanchuma on Parshat Toldot explains there were those who mocked David during that time and said Naval, Avigail's first husband, must have been the father. He was called Kilav, Shehaya Kulo Av, that he was entirely like his father. Shekol haro'ehu omer David aviv shelzeh, so that all who would see him would say that David is surely the father of this one. The Radak explains that his official name was Daniel, which is understood as Hashem judged me over Naval. When recording the third son, Avshalom, our chapter uses an odd and seemingly superfluous preposition. It says, Hashlishi le Avshalom ben Ma'achab bat Talmai melech Geshur. This translates literally as the third to Avshalom, the son of Ma'acha, the daughter of Talmi, the king of Geshur. Radak demonstrates with other examples from Tanakh that this is a legitimate grammatical construct and we should not read into it. Malbim, however, explains that the name Avshalom is a construct of father, Av, and peace, Shalom. By adding a lamed to the beginning of his name, it can be broken down into Lo Av Shalom. He is not a father of peace, as he led a rebellion against his father. Radak explains that his mother was a beautiful woman that David took captive during war. We learn about the halachot concerning the beautiful captive women in Devarim chapter 21. And that is why Avshalom rebelled, as that passage in the Torah is followed soon after by the Ben Sorer Umora, the wayward and rebellious son. The lesson appears to be that when you take a beautiful woman from the enemy captive in battle, you are destined to have a wayward and rebellious son from her. David's sixth child, Yitream, is recorded as the son of his wife Eglah in verse 3. This is not a name we encounter anywhere else in Tanakh aside from these two parallel passages. The Gemara in Sanhedrin 21a identifies Eglah with Michal, the daughter of Shaul, David's first wife. She is called Eglah Kaf as a term of endearment. But how can it be that she has a child? Shmuel Bet chapter 6 verse 23 states, "And Michal, the daughter of Shaul, had no child until the day of her death." One opinion says that she had a child on the day of her death. She died in childbirth. Another opinion says she had a child, but when she saw David leaping while escorting the ark to Jerusalem, which we will address when we learn about it in chapter 15, she despised David in her heart and did not merit to have any more children. Verse 5 lists the four sons born to King David in Yerushalayim: Shema, Shavav, Natan, and Shlomo. In addition to the unusual order, we know about Shlomo, but we don't think of him as the fourth child. They are also attributed to a woman we have not heard of until now, Bat Shua, the daughter of Amiel. This name sounds very similar to Bat Sheva, the daughter of Eliam, that we do know to be the mother of Shlomo. Indeed, the Radak says they are one and the same, and that her children are not listed in birth order. Ralbag disagrees and says Shlomo was the fifth son. Their first child died soon after childbirth, and he validates this through calculating David's death with regard to when the Bat Sheva affair occurred. Verse 9 concludes the son of David and also includes mention of his daughter Tamar. Kol b'nei David, milvad b'nei Pilagshim, v'tamar achotam. All were David's sons, besides the sons of the concubines, and Tamar was their sister. There were two Tamars in David's life: his righteous ancestress, who had to trick Yehuda into fulfilling his responsibility toward her as his widowed daughter-in-law, that we read about in the previous chapter, and Tamar, his daughter, who was raped by his son Amnon. It would seem that Divrei Hayamim, which Rashi describes was written because of the honor of David and his posterity, would leave both of these women out of the genealogy. After all, very few mothers are mentioned overall, and even fewer sisters. Surely the men listed had daughters as well as sons. Perhaps we can understand the explicit mention of both Tamars as a validation of their lives in righteousness. While their stories do not place David's ancestry or progeny in a positive light, they themselves were not to blame and are worthy of mentioning and maintaining their place in the history of the Jewish people. Beginning with Shlomo in verse 10, the chapter continues with listing only the son of each king who inherited his father's crown. This continues until Yoshiyahu, where it lists four of his sons. This is because they all reigned during the Babylonian conquest of Israel and concurrent wars with Egypt, and they were either killed or exiled themselves. There is a lot of confusion among the commentaries with regard to the exact genealogy of these kings. Verse 17 is written in a confusing manner: Uvene Yechaniah Asir Shealtiel Beno. And the sons of Yechaniah, Asir Shealtiel his son. Yechaniah was the son of Jehoiakim, mentioned in verse 16, and the grandson of Yeshaya, mentioned in verse 15. After he was deposed by Nebuchadnezzar, his uncle, Tzidkiyahu, the son of Yeshaya, was appointed the king by Nebuchadnezzar. In addition to the lack of clarity if Asir and Shealtiel are two different people or one person, we have a contradictory verse in the book of Yirmiyahu, which states regarding Yechaniah, "So says the Lord, write you this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Yehuda." How can it be that he is mentioned here as having a son when the pasuk in Yirmiyahu seems to have him cursed to not have any children? The Gemara, Sanhedrin 37b, explains that exile atones for all. The Gemara continues that Asir and Shealtiel are the same person. Asir, which means prisoner, tells how he was conceived while his father was imprisoned. Shealtiel, planted by God, means that Hashem planned him in an atypical fashion. It can also mean that Hashem requested Lish'ol to undo Yirmiyahu's oath, which allowed him to have a child. One of Yechaniah's grandsons, mentioned in verse 19, is Zerubbabel. This name may sound familiar to you if you already learned the book of Ezra, as the representative from the line of David who returned to Israel after the Babylonian exile, or from singing Ma'otsur during the lighting of the Hanukkah candles, where he is mentioned in one of the stanzas. The same Gemara above explains that Zerubbabel means he was sown, Zera, in Babel, Babylonia, and identifies him with Nehemiah, son of Hachgaliah, the Persian king's cupbearer, who helped lead the return to Zion and the building of the Second Temple. Since Divrei Hayamim was written during the beginning of the Second Temple era, it was very important to show how the Davidic line continued uninterrupted, despite the political upheaval, through to the return to Zion, Shivat Zion. Thank you for studying together Le'ilui Nishmat, Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.